Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
We're back. Had to at least throw that little bit in there. It's trite, it's cliche, but it is indeed football season, and we're back. Welcome to the 2012 edition of Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. My name is John Rook. This is year number 12 for us inside the Playbook on Patriots.com Radio, and very happy to be back with you once again as we are here normally on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 2 until 4 p.m. Eastern Time live on Patriots.com Radio. Replayed as well during the evening block. I believe it comes up from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Replayed. And then, of course, you may download us for the podcast, as John Hanna has asked you to do so many times over the years. If you can't make either one of the live and or tape showings during the course of the programming. Our goal for the program is quite simple. We come along in after the PFW in Progress guys, the Patriots Football Weekly writers, not only to expand on, but to perhaps look under the microscope a bit more at some of the topics that they bring up, not only in the paper, but what's going on with the team. We're trying to be as current and as topical as we can with the New England Patriots. But for those of you that have heard the program over the course of the last several seasons, we also try to expand our reach into other areas of the NFL that the Patriots are affected by and that the Patriots also affect. In other words, we do a lot of talking about AFC East opponents, since these are teams that the Patriots play twice every year. And we look at some of the other, as you heard announcer boy say there just a moment ago, some of the other fun stuff in between, like, you know, anything that's topical going on in the NFL, controversy or not, joking or not, making fun of or not. We had a great time a couple years ago with Rex Ryan and the whole foot thing. So, whatever happens, happens. And then, of course, during the bye week, and I've already had somebody send me a tweet on Game Show Wednesdays. So, you know, during the bye week, we'll have some fun, too. We'll play some games. We'll give away some prizes. And some of the fun stuff in between, as always, is set. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays right here. And I welcome in my good friend Eric Scalavino from Patriot Football Weekly, who at least two out of the three days during the week will join us for the opening hour here inside the Playbook, just so we can make sure that we get all of our X's and O's covered. Right, E?
Happy to do it once again with you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. So I think we probably should just dive right in, but we'll first leave it off with letting everybody know that the way you're going to touch with the program is the way you also get in touch with PFW. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. That's how you get us. The telephone number, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. And obviously, love to hear from old friends that we've made over the course of the last 11 seasons, now into our 12th. New friends that we might be making. You can also reach me here on the program via Facebook and via Twitter. We're going to try to work on the Twitter page a little bit more and the Twitter handle a little bit more this year, too.
We need to help you out in that regard, John. Yeah. Don't mean to rub it in, but we did get to meet an old friend. Kat from Chicago.
I missed Kat. Came on to PFW last week. Kat, I can't believe I missed you.
She was a big hit with everybody. And by the way, she made her own, like, homemade version of Cracker Jacks.
Come on.
And they were absolutely delicious.
Come on. And I missed it?
Yeah. There aren't any left over. Are there, Kevin? No, those are,
long gone.
Yeah, she made a nice addition to the show and brought us some goodies and,
Kat, I'm very, 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 very upset that I missed you.
I knew you would be, but I just wanted you to know.
She's one of my favorite all-time contributors to the program because she knows a ton, she knows her stuff.
She does.
She knows her stuff. Yeah. She's very impressive in that regard. So, all right. So if you're an old friend, a new friend, you want to be a friend, here's how you can reach us as well via social media. John Rook is the name, R-O-O-K-E. So just hit me up at john.rook, on Facebook and I will friend you if we're not already friends. Okay, just for football if you like, and then we can stay in touch throughout the offseason if you like. In fact, one of the great gratifying things I think of this job, Eric, is the fact that all the Patriots friends that we've pulled in over the last couple of years since Facebook has exploded, have stuck around during the offseason. And it's great to just kind of chit-chat during the offseason with friends via Facebook and Twitter if there are questions that come up, stories that come up, whatever. My good friend Tim up in Kamloops, British Columbia, who's always already sitting there waiting on me, you know, via the Facebook chat function. So, Tim, it's great to hear from you again. We've got that going on, so you can also hit me up on Facebook and the Twitter handle at jrook, J-R-O-O-K-E 0722. Please follow at jrook 0722. And I will have the Twitter page open, and I will accept your tweets, and we'll do some tweeting, we'll do some Facebooking, we'll do some emailing, and light up the phones 508-298-0398. There's so many ways to get in touch with the program. We want to be in touch with you so we can talk some football. All right. Now, let's first of all, let me piggyback what Fred was talking about, just because, by the way, hour number two, Russell Baxter, profootballguru.com. Also, he's with the NFL Magazine, and he's with Bleacher Report. I believe he also does some stuff for Bleacher Report. He may have added a couple of other jobs in the offseason. I'm not entirely certain, but he's going to join us in the 3 o'clock
hour. Normally,
it's Thursdays.
Is he doing it because of the game?
Well,
tonight?
He's doing it because of the game tonight, number one, and number two, because I'm already not going to be here tomorrow.
Wow.
One day on, and I'm already getting a day off.
It's because
my college schedule.
Yeah.
I've got two games in the opening week of the college schedule, and then I'm off for like a month.
So you got Cincy, Pittsburgh.
Tomorrow night.
And what's the other one this week?
I had Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, you called that game?
I called that game.
That was dandy, huh?
That was a good game for Louisville. It was a very good game. And I think they kind of lived up to some of their preseason billing as well. So I had that one on Sunday, and then I've been working on Cincy and Pittsburgh this week, and then I'm off for like another month before I get a couple of more games in a row again. So.
Is the football rivalry as strong as the basketball one?
No. No.
Not even close,
no.
Right?
No. No. But
there's some hatred there.
Yeah, well, I mean, they play for a little rivalry trophy and everything, but it's really stupid because they've only been playing for it for like 7 years, and now with Pittsburgh moving to the ACC, it's kind of like, well, they're not going to schedule each other again in the near future. They might not schedule each other again ever. And if I'm Cincinnati, why would I? Pittsburgh has, you know, gone turncoat.
I was talking about the Louisville-Kentucky one.
Oh, the Louisville-Kentucky. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That too. Yeah, they actually did. Well, that was in the past, Eric. I'm thinking ahead. It's not near as big a rivalry football as it is basketball.
Plus, it's intense.
Yeah, it's still intense because, I mean, you're talking about everything that's within the state.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's, you know, no. And Kentucky's football is not very good. So, not very good. Louisville was okay. Just okay. Basketball this year, they both ought to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So Louisville, I think, will be the preseason favorite in the Big East. So, all right, we can jump into that at another time.
Sure. We like to digress on this program.
We always digress on this program. It's what we do best. We digress better than probably anybody else. The first thing I wanted to get into is something that Fred was talking about. The concerns from the 1-3 preseason, the fact that we really didn't see offensive production. I can't imagine, however, that we would have seen anywhere near the playbook installed in the preseason because you don't want to give potential opponents a look. So I'm not overly concerned. I will tell you, however, that I do have some concern with the offensive line just because there's different shuffling of parts, because there may still not be a Brian Waters sighting, even though his nameplate and his locker are still intact down the hallway here. So with that uncertainty, I guess there could be a little hesitation over the willingness to just jump entirely on the Patriots bandwagon. What are your thoughts?
Well, there were certainly several surprises since, cut down day came and went, and I think those surprises continue. I just want to go over those quickly before I get into that. The surprise number one to me was that so many receivers were cut.
Mm-hmm.
So many veteran receivers didn't make this team. Deion Branch, we talked about it on your Go Local Prov show the other
day,
John.
Right.
that they have barely anybody who can catch the ball at that position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stunned that Branch, Gaffney, Stallworth, none of those guys made the team. And even the, so my first thought was, okay, they're going young. And then they cut the young guys, too. And they kept four receivers. They traded for one that was five. They added one to the practice squad, reportedly cut him already, but there seems to be another guy in his place. It's chaotic. It's a mess. I'm surprised by it. I'm also surprised that Brian Waters isn't here. I really thought for sure he would say, okay.
We all did. We all
I'm a veteran.
That, right?
Yeah. I don't need this training camp nonsense, this preseason baloney. I'll show up when I show up, like last year. I'll start. Let's get going. He's not here. He's not playing. I'm stunned at that. I really am. Both of those aside, I still think this is going to be a Patriots offense that you see score in the 30s on a regular basis and up to 40 points a game.
Okay.
I just think that they're just too many. If Lloyd, Welker, Gronk, Hernandez all stay healthy, forget it. That's a mismatch for any defense, no matter how good they are. The problem is going to be, can they keep Tom Brady protected? And I think now that they have settled on their starting five, you're going to have left to right, Solder, Mankins, Wendell, Connolly, and Vollmer. Those guys can stay together. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be
Wendell
able to,
at center?
Wendell will be your center, right.
So they do like Dan Connolly better at guard.
Well, they have no choice because Brian Waters isn't here. If Waters were here, Connolly would be your center.
He'd be the center.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Wendell would be the backup. But they have no choice with the right guard spot. They have to go with the best player, and the best player happens to be the guy who's your best player at center right now.
Right, okay.
So the right guard takes precedence, and they have a capable backup there with Wendell, and he's going to be your starter, though, now.
Let's kind of piggyback on that. In addition to Waters' locker remaining intact, we've also seen Deion Branches still in place,
yeah.
And I believe also Nico Kudavides down the hallway
right.
As well.
Yep, that's
so
correct.
So what do we read into that?
Well, Waters is still under contract, technically, so it's not unusual that a locker space would still be made available for him because he could at any point decide to report. Branch and Kudavides are another story because they have been released. They aren't under contract. The fact that they still have space in the locker room tells me that there's a decent chance that one or both of them ends up playing for this team this year. In Branch's case, it might be, you know, if disaster strikes at that position, kind of like with Kevin Falk and Sammy Morris hanging around and being you know, ready to call it at a moment's notice. I think that might be the case with Branch.
Sure.
Because I don't believe anyone's picked him up around the league.
No. Nope.
And, he has a home here. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up coming back at some point. Certainly Kudavides is a candidate for that because they're already kind of not necessarily that they're thin at the linebacker spot, but they went in with some depth issues, and then they cut Bobby Carpenter. And Brandon Spikes isn't exactly the most reliable guy when it comes to playing 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an inexperienced backup in Mike Rivera. So I think it's odds are 75% that you'll see Nico Kudavides on this roster again sometime this year. Branch, I think, would have to be an emergency, but I still think it's a possibility.
I think most people would probably, first of all, they were surprised that Deion was cut to begin with. I think as we all were kind of taken by surprise. So as we kind of learn now over the course of the last few days why the moves were made that were made in order to get the roster down to 53 players, what have you been able to glean about the style or the makeup mentally of this team? What do you think the coaching staff, what do you think Bill Belichick envisions for this team this year, knowing the personnel sets that they've decided to keep, i.e. the extra tight ends, and today they signed another tight end. Michael, get this now.
Yep.
Uu Manawanui.
I've heard it pronounced a little differently, but we'll have to find out what the correct one is.
That's what I heard. I heard it was Uu Manawanui.
Mm.
Is that not it?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard various iterations of it, but we haven't heard from the player himself, so until we do,
okay.
I'll reserve judgment.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's reported. That hasn't been confirmed.
Right.
But we also saw him out there at practice today, so it's a pretty safe bet that transaction went through.
Went through.
He was wearing number 47 out there at practice today.
All right.
And Bill did acknowledge earlier that there were some roster moves afoot. He wasn't prepared to announce them at the pre-practice juncture, though.
You want to take a guess as to what they might be?
I would bet dollars to donuts Vasante Shenko goes on
IR?
Designated for return.
Designated
IR.
For return IR?
Yeah. If not IR permanently. Mm-hmm. He'll be on one of those two, I think, with Shane Vereen being a remote possibility there as well.
Really?
For the short-term IR.
For the short-term
yeah.
IR?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, that move has to have been made because Ho Manawa Nui, however you want to call him, was out there today. So somebody on the 53 is no longer on the 53
okay.
to make room for him. There are also a couple of practice squad moves reported. Eric Catani being cut in favor of Jeremiah Warren, the rookie O-lineman who was here throughout camp in the preseason. Warren was here. Catani was not, so I think safe to say that transaction went through. There was another reported transaction that the sixth wide receiver on the team, Sam Kirkland, rookie from Kent State, was released. However, there was a player at his position wearing the same number out there at practice today.
And we don't, obviously.
We don't know for sure if that was him or not.
So,
yeah, you know, we're too far away to tell faces that clearly, but... Besides, we'd never met Sam Kirkland, so wouldn't be able to tell you if that was him or not. So some things are going to happen today. Probably by the end of the day, we'll know for certain. But there was also a report that Kellen Winslow Jr. was working out here, and depending on who passed their physical, was going to get signed. So it looked like Winslow might not have passed his physical.
Really?
Because they went with the other guy.
Oh, with the...
With O'o Manawa Nui.
Manawa Nui?
Yeah.
Manawa Nui, is that how you understand it now?
Manawa Nui, yeah.
Okay.
But, again, we'll have to talk to him and get the get
okay.
it from the horse's mouth. At least the first name is easy, Michael.
Well, it's not, I mean, you had his signing, and you also had Greg Salas' signing, which I believe...
Trade.
Or the trade that came yep. about, right. And they both obviously spent time in St. Louis when Josh Daniels was there, McDaniels was there.
Right.
So in that regard, the familiarity, I think, is certainly part of the reason, has to be a large part of the reason why those guys are in here mm-hmm. getting a look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious as to why Salas over... Deion Branch,
yeah,
for lack of a better phrase.
I think
phrase.
Everybody is kind of... I think that's everybody's question, really. And we don't have the answer for it because there's just not enough body of work to go back and look at on this kid, Salas. We'll just have to... Really, we'll have to wait and see how this plays out.
Did it have had anything to do with money?
I'd hate to say never because I don't like to say never with this team, yeah. but it would really surprise me if that were the case.
Interesting.
Really would.
Yeah. Well, for whatever it's worth, then.
It didn't look to me like Branch had lost anything from
no,
last year.
No, I didn't
so
think so either.
That's why I'm
I actually thought he had a decent camp from what I saw. And
now, again.
I thought he had edged out you know, Dante Stallworth. If you'd put those two together, I didn't see where Stallworth had
sure.
accomplished a heck of a lot.
Sure.
And I thought in that regard, that had Branch relatively
safe.
Yeah,
especially when against the Giants last Wednesday. Pre-game, mm-hmm. warm-ups. You know they're going to sit most of your starters in that fourth preseason game. He was one of them. And in pre-game warm-ups, he and Gronk, Hernandez, Brady, were having this little horse-around type game of one-on-one.
Yeah.
One guy
yeah.
was quarterback, yeah. one guy was receiver, one guy was D-back, and they would rotate. One guy would sit out. They would rotate who played what position. Branch was among those guys. And you saw that, and you're like, oh, you know, that clearly means he's a starter. He's getting rested. He's safe.
Right. Interesting.
It just goes to show you never can tell in this league.
You can't. All right. So while that's a concern still, as we look at you know the personnel groupings and settings, we know that this team loves to you know the fact that they're going to you know go with you know probably two tight end sets a lot of the way.
And they the love for the fullbacks continues this year. They signed.
Is that a Josh McDaniels doing?
It might be. Yeah, I think it might be. Lex Hilliard, formerly of the
Miami Dolphins,
is now here. Excuse me. He took the place of Matt Tennant, backup center, who was signed, claimed off waivers over the Labor Day weekend. They love them some fullbacks around here this year, and that's going to be clearly – I think you're going to see a lot more – I think that the clue here is – cutting back on the receivers, adding the tight ends and the fullbacks means two things. A, the offense is clearly more tight end focused as far as the passing game is concerned. And with good reason, because you have two of the best young players in the league at the spot. You have Wes Welker still. You have Brandon Lloyd. You can go with a lot of two-receiver, two-tight-end sets as a passing offense and as a running offense. So you have the flexibility to put the same personnel out there and do a variety of things.
So you're going to see more
so
of an
I think
emphasis
you'll see
on...
more. I think you'll see predominantly... In the past, we've seen, you know, five wide, spread them out, a bunch of receivers. We've seen... you know, stack up the big bodies and run the ball. But it was evident every time you'd see a formation what they were going to do.
Right.
Now I think it's going to be a little bit trickier for defense to say, oh, they're clearly going to run on this play, because I think you're going to see the same personnel that were on the pass play that spread you out five wide.
So that's just another layer of deception, perhaps.
I think so.
Even though the play calls might be similar,
yeah.
They want guys that can come in and not only run the ball and block the ball, but can also catch the ball just from a similar personnel grouping.
Yeah, I think so. The only indication you might get, that it's a running play is if you see Julian Edelman come in and take Welker's place, or if you see Slater come in and take Lloyd's place. That might be the only hint that the defense has that maybe they're not throwing on this play. But you have to throw those guys a bone here or there, too, to keep the defense honest.
Okay.
And, you know, you're going to see a lot of these heavy packages with a fullback and a running back. And, you know, maybe you have two tight ends and one of them splits out wide or both of them split out wide.
Okay.
And there's what I think you're going to see some creativity in that you're not used to, but I think you're going to see a lot of the same players, same personnel out there. They just might be on different plays lining up differently.
From the preseason, any other concerns personnel-wise in addition to where you what we saw with the offensive line and the penchant for Brady to get knocked around a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think part of that, too, is that they had a different personnel grouping at the O-line for every game.
Yeah, they did.
And almost for every series. It was
almost
different.
Like they were really kind of...
searching.
Yes. And they couldn't settle on one, and maybe they wanted to try different combinations.
Part of it was injury-related, you know, they were forced to do so.
Right.
Part of it was, you know, we need to get some of these younger guys some reps to see what they can do.
Right.
So there was a lot going into that, but I think they've settled now on the five. And if that five can stay together, I think they'll be okay. Defensively, I still have some concerns. It's essentially the same secondary that was near dead last in the league last year, with the exception you've added Steve Gregory, Tavon Wilson. Those guys are going to make an impact.
Steve Gregory, in effect, has come in and taken, I guess,
James
Ahedibo's spot, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Upgrade perhaps a little bit there.
Yeah, he's your new free safety, and I think he's been pretty stable, pretty consistent, as advertised. And I think that'll help.
Last year, the secondary, as we know, was really one of the weak points of this football team.
Yeah.
We saw it. They weren't really a cover. They were exposed because largely a lot of people believe, I'm one of them, they were exposed somewhat because we didn't have quite the presence up front in putting the pressure on an opposing quarterback. Do you feel like if the front seven were the same, and it's not, and we'll address that momentarily. Mm-hmm. But if the front seven were the same, has the athleticism improved in the back four or five, as the case may be?
I think there's a little bit more depth there now than there was.
Okay, you hesitated on the word depth.
Yeah, because I don't want to say talent necessarily, but because I'm not. I still am very cautiously optimistic about that group because the overwhelming majority of players from last year are still there. And until they prove otherwise, I don't want to get too
excited.
You have
Wilson and Gregory and his two newcomers.
That's what I mean. That is the difference that potentially could help out a little bit.
And what will a healthy Dowling, Rasai Dowling, potentially provide
remains
to the mix
to be
as
seen
well?
Because
he's
got to
stay healthy.
He does, because we really don't know what we have when
he
is healthy.
Right.
And he's not really your starter anymore. He's more your nickel guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got McCourty left, Arrington right. So it's essentially the same unit.
We had thought in the early stages of the preseason this year that McCourty might actually get time at safety, too. What's happened with that experiment?
I think that was vastly overrated.
Okay.
from last year because he didn't exactly set the world on fire at that position last year either. And I think it was a little premature for people to assume he was going to come right in and just move automatically over there because, A, they addressed the safety spot in free agency and the draft, and, B, they didn't address the need at corner. So he has to, by default, be
He's got to play.
He's got to play.
Yeah.
And he was a Pro Bowler in his first year, so it was a wash. He was as good as he was his first year, he was equally bad the second year.
We'll just leave it up to the sophomore jinx, and that's the
we'll
way it works.
We'll have to
right?
hope that he can perform better this year. They've upgraded at linebacker. They've upgraded in the front seven, as you said. They're still, I think, very very thin there at linebacker.
Are you surprised they cut Bobby Carpenter?
Yes, because I didn't think they had the flexibility to do that there.
I wasn't sure either.
I really didn't think so. So defense still remains the biggest question mark for me.
Well, I think the two players that most everybody's excited to see will be the two rookie first-round draft picks.
And they have been encouragingly contributing.
Dont'a Hightower, I thought, was perhaps the steal of the deal. I think we're going to find him to be a force. But Chandler Jones has been the pleasant surprise, I think, out of everybody, mm-hmm. simply because we aren't sure what if he was ready to be a complete, even almost every down type of NFL player yet. And from what we saw in the preseason,
he is now.
He looks like he is.
Yeah, he is now. And that's good if he can continue to get pressure consistently. Not necessarily sacks, but if he can force a quarterback to throw before he's ready, get him out of the pocket, let somebody else mop up the mess. If he can force him to throw bad passes, I'll take that. That'll be an improvement to me in that area. I mean, I'd like him to get to the quarterback, but short of that, I think if he can do those things and play all three downs, he's done everything you've asked and more.
Well, we've got a long season, as you know, over the course of the next 4 months. At least Patriots fans are hoping over the course of the next 4 months that we'll, you know, perhaps wrap up with another Super Bowl appearance to talk about personnel groupings and what have you. We will break it down every which way we possibly can over the course of the season, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun along the way. But to begin with, anyway, here today for the opening week, opening program of the 2012 NFL season, it's very simple. Give me number of wins for the Patriots. Number of wins you think the Patriots are going to get in the regular season. Keep in mind that statistically speaking, they were handed the NFL's easiest schedule. Okay?
Yep.
So, and it's just the way that the rotation worked through for the AFC East teams this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to hear from anybody midway through the season, well, the Patriots have an insanely easy schedule. Well, yeah, it's because that's what the NFL gave them. It's not like they have to go out and book teams and get teams to come in and play them like you do in college football. It's completely different. However, that being said, number of wins for the Patriots and who are your two Super Bowl teams for this year, okay?
Yep.
So I want you to be thinking about
okay.
that. We're going to pick Super Bowl teams. We're going to do that after the break. We want you to think of number of wins for the Pats. Who are your Super Bowl teams? Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us on the program. So fire off your two thoughts here and more if you want to share. If you want to say, hey, it's great to have you back. Well, then that's good too. Or, hey, you suck. Go away. That's fine too. Although I hope that there aren't too many of those, but you never know. I'm an equal opportunity enabler.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Yes, exactly. Webradio@patriots.com. The email address, the Ace Ticket Hotline, pick up the phone and call 508-298-0398, John.Rook on Facebook, and at J.Rook, J-R-O-O-K-E 0722 on Twitter. Come on, let's do it.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hope's up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Pfft, rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Or hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. If you're not already a friend, do it! I might actually friend you, and I won't defriend you. Like, you know, kids in junior high would do. And then the Twitter page, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. At JRook, 0722 is the Twitter address. Why did I pick 0722?
Why did you?
Because JRook was taken by some schmuck.
Come on.
Yeah, it was taken. John Rook was taken by some schmuck. So, and how many John Rooks are there?
John underscore Rook?
John underscore Rook, I don't know. I never tried that one. So, that one's probably gone now just because you said it. But 0722 happens to be my birth date, July 22nd.
Giving out too much information there.
You know what? What are they going to do with it? Can they monetize it? Can they really? I mean, you can almost monetize anything these days, but I don't think you monetize that. I didn't give my SS number or anything like that, although I could. I don't know what the hell difference it would make, but, you know. Anyway, so that's how you get a hold of us here on the program. John Rook, Eric Scalavino, PFW. What are you laughing at now?
I just typed your name in for the search, and it said no results.
Come
maybe that's, on. Maybe that's why you're having such problems.
Come on. I'm right here.
I know. That's what I know.
I'm right here. J-O-H-N.
I know.
R-O-O-K-E.
That's a problem. That could be a problem. Why people aren't...
I don't know.
adding you.
I don't know.
See, that you can't be found.
Well, I've already gotten a couple of Facebook friend requests today. Already. All right, see? And now my phone is beeping, so that means that it's coming.
That means
see?
You got something? I tell friend you what, requests. John.
See? There you go. It's already working.
You retweet me? I'll see your thing come up, and then I'll be able to add you, because I can't find you on here.
All right, here it is. I just retweeted you. Don't you just love social media on the radio? Doesn't it make great radio? Yeah, exactly. I'm going to send out a signal here. All right, the questions of the day. Multiple questions we want you to attack today on day one of the program. Number one, how many wins for the Patriots? Obviously, we'd be able to figure out what your win-loss record prediction would be for this team, but how many wins for the Patriots? I could have asked a very even simpler one. Over under on what would be the over under number? Probably what, like 12.5? 12.5?
Yeah, 12. Yeah, 12.5.
12.5. 12.5.
12.5.
All right. And then who are your Super Bowl predictions? All right. I'm gonna wait.
That's fine.
I'm a gonna wait.
That's fine.
I'm a gonna
wait.
You
only got about 15 minutes.
And about 15 minutes, and then Russell Baxter will join us, and we'll jump into some other things. We'll get his thoughts too, because there's a lot of things that we're gonna catch up with Russell throughout the entire off season. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. Mary Beth sent this note on Facebook. She says, "John, welcome back. Let's jump on board for a great football season. Pats this year, 13 wins, 3 losses," and she says the Super Bowl teams are Pats and Eagles. It seems to be a consensus almost. I have to admit, I don't understand why we're seeing a little bit more of a run on the Eagles of late as a favorite in the NFC. I mean, I know they came in here and
I don't see it.
But I'm not sure I see the Eagles over, say, the Packers or
even the Bears.
The 49ers. The Bears are improved.
The Giants.
The Giants. Yeah, hey, how about the defending Super Bowl champions, much as it pains to say that. I mean, I would pick 3 or 4 teams before I go to the Eagles. But it seems like the Eagles are getting a lot of run, especially from the national media. Any ideas why that is?
Well, they were the dream team last year. They turned into a nightmare. Maybe there's some sentimental reasons for, you know, the team rallying around Andy Reid with the loss of his son. It could be, you know. I mean, they do still have talent there. It's not like they're going to be, I think, as miserable an outcome as they had last year. But as far as being a Super Bowl favorite, I don't see it. I just don't.
Okay. I'm trying to goad you into giving your pick early, but I guess it's not working.
Oh, I thought you wanted to wait.
No, we can. That's all right. That's fine. Gustavo on Facebook. Good to hear from you, Gustavo. He says he's in Irvine, California. I believe he's one of my friends from Brazil who listens to the program regularly. He says, "John, welcome back. I do have a nitpick. This offseason took too long. Let's have some football already." Can't imagine that wouldn't be a general sentiment from most football fans. You know, speaking of the offseason, all right, and then I'm going to jump into the preseason for a moment. I'll get back to the emails here in a moment. But quite frankly, Eric, this preseason was as disgusting is one I can remember in a long time.
Disgusting,
the,
what do you mean?
The brand of play was horrid.
Overall or with this team, you mean?
Overall. And throughout the NFL, I thought. Yeah, I got to admit, it wasn't football. I kept waiting for football to start. The problem is that teams are so guarded and teams are so unwilling to show their hand. And we know that that was the case with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Teams are so interested in letting some of these other, you know, guys that will never have a shot of making a roster get playing time because they pretty much, you know,
they want bad football.
They want bad football. They're absolutely they're contributing to bad football because these are guys that they're using because they don't want to use guys that could get hurt. Bill Belichick even said it. It was about a week or more ago. When he told reporters here at Gillette that if you get to the last preseason game and you don't know who is on your roster, then you haven't already done your job, which to me renders the last game of the preseason totally and completely worthless and meaningless, and it's a complete and total money grab. Now, I had proposed my column
from a fan's perspective.
Yes, from a fan's perspective.
From a personnel scouting perspective.
Yeah, but here's how we could get around that. Let me pitch this out there just as an idea and see what you think.
All right.
Because I wrote about this in GoLocalProv.com this last week, and I think it's time that we start trying to, you know, toot the horn for this a little bit more, because I really don't believe owners around the NFL will be hurt drastically by this particular issue if, of course, we do revamp. First, I think we can all agree that the preseason is way too long. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Second of all, the caliber of football is not what it even used to be in the preseason. And the reason it is because this is a full-time job for these players now. These guys stay in shape, and they're usually in training 12 months out of the year. They have to be. The game has evolved to this point. Whereas years ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago, the regulars, the superstars, would come in and have to get themselves into game shape using the preseason. So you saw these players play in the preseason in order to get their game back on, correct?
That's how it used to be.
That's how it used to be. So now that the regulars are already in shape and you're not going to see them and we're still playing four relatively meaningless games, can't we cut it back? Let's cut it back. Here's my proposal. We're going to cut it back to two regular season games.
Preseason games,
yeah. Excuse me. Two preseason games, right? Two regular preseason games, I should say.
Okay.
All right. Then we're also going to have a glorified
scrimmage.
You're going to have a week's worth of practices with another team.
I'm all for it.
Okay.
I'm all for
with
it.
Another team where you practice all week long with this other team. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that week, open up your stadium for a controlled scrimmage. Don't sell tickets. Don't charge an admission, mm-hmm. but, you know, if you want to, you know, the concession stands are open, folks,
yeah.
Okay? So you're going to make some money that day. It's not like you're not going to make any money.
It's a glorified day of training camp.
Yes, is yeah. what it would be. Yeah. But you open up the whole stadium and do a controlled scrimmage, you could draw 60,000 out here.
Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah,
you could draw 60,000
yeah,
out
you
here.
Could.
There's no doubt in my mind.
We were drawing 15,000 for the Saints practices.
Well, the high for a practice this year, you had, I believe, 17,000 on day two. Not day one. Day one
right.
was like 15. Day two is actually 17,000 out of practice. And then the in-stadium scrimmage for season ticket holders and Foxborough residents was over 22,000
yeah.
this year, which is about normal. That's about what they draw, 20 to 23, 24,000.
Yep.
So that was a normal day. You could draw 60 if you actually had a full-fledged scrimmage. So that would be week three, or maybe you make that week two, and then you do another game in week three. If you have to have another week, then you simply do it with a controlled scrimmage again, rather than sell tickets to a game that are overpriced, that you're not going to see the starters. I just don't understand how you can possibly expect full freight to be paid for a game that's not going to feature anybody that you paid to see.
It's a great idea, John. And I think the one thing that if because the owner's argument is they don't want to lose the ticket price revenue from those two games. That's their argument, right? So I think fans who are season ticket holders,
it's actually just one game because you're only losing one home game.
Right, but you're still getting some gate revenue from your other game. You're still getting something out of it.
It's really one game.
I
that's all you're really losing.
I hear you, and I've never been one to feel bad for, you know, billionaires, but which is what these owners are.
Yes.
Their argument is going to be that. That's what they will present to you if you were to take your case to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to say to them, take the price of those two games tickets,
mm-hmm.
spread them out evenly throughout the rest
your
of your regular season, and just treat it as a incremental price of doing business.
I think most fans would go with that. So if you're talking about blowing out one home game at say a $90 ticket,
yeah.
and spreading that out over, you know, you've got 10 games, so you'd only have
right.
technically
$10,
9 games.
$10 a game.
You're talking about jacking up your ticket price $10 a game. Would that be palatable to you as fans? If ticket prices went up $10 a game, but there's one less preseason game,
and you can go free,
and
to
you can go free to the scrimmage,
the glorified scrimmage, yeah,
it's really all the same,
and
right?
have a week of practice instead
and have
of
a week of practice,
2 days
exactly,
which is, you know, like a day and a half. Wouldn't
that, because you'd be offering an opportunity for fans that wouldn't never necessarily get a chance to come
correct.
To go
correct.
To that game?
Absolutely,
now,
it's a win. It's a win for everyone.
I think so too. And you're opening up concessions. You probably make the ticket sales back in beer sales.
Yeah,
and especially for an August, a hot August night. Come on,
mm-hmm.
really?
I think it's a home run. I really do.
And you turn out, you know, a carnival
now, how
atmosphere.
How would you spread it out? Would you do the actual games at the end of the schedule, or in the beginning?
I think you could start out with one, then you could do your scrimmage in the middle.
Yeah.
And then you
could stagger it.
Yeah, stagger it a little bit, and then you could
do. Still keep the third preseason
still
game.
Still keep the third preseason
the
game as the tune up or as the game that, you know, that's supposedly the game that, you know, is the closest to the regular season. That way you could keep it like that, and it has the least effect on the coaching staff and the players in terms of their evaluation process.
I think I would do it this way. I would do the first game as this glorified scrimmage.
Okay.
Because you're still, that's training camp mode. It's still, you're easing into it. Have games 2 and 3 be actual preseason games.
Okay.
The fourth one be the glorified.
Yeah. So you could do it. So if they need 4,
yeah.
I don't even think they need 4.
I don't either.
Because Coach Belichick even said, you know, hey, we pretty much know who's going to make the team before the fourth game.
Yeah.
If everybody's doing their job. So the fourth game was rendered moot when I heard that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of a fourth game. You've got to cut this thing back. It's ridiculous. Let's get on with the regular season. Mm-hmm. If you want to add a regular season game, I know there's still been some discussion to that. I don't know how much
that has
been.
I don't want any part of that.
Well,
I don't want any part of adding to the regular season.
It's
already long enough as it is.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're really looking at the potential for returning revenue, then that could be an option. It could still be on the table.
That's as far as I go.
Yeah, I don't know where they are with, you know, within the negotiations they had with the Players Association last year or any of that.
I don't think that's even on the discussion docket right now.
But I think 4 weeks is a little too much. I think, you know, 3 weeks is plenty.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a way to do this and probably make everybody happy and nobody loses their shirt.
I'm glad I don't remember the days of 6 preseason games, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's when you had 14 regular season games.
But I'm glad just...
This was up until 1979, I believe. We had when we went to 16 game schedule, 79.
I think it was
78. Or
I think 79. That sounds right. Yeah, because the Bucks joined the league. Mm-hmm. The Bucks and Seahawks joined in 77, right?
Yep.
And they were still 14 at that point.
Correct, they were.
So I think it was. I think you're right. Yeah.
I think 1979. I think that was the first year we went to a 16 game schedule. So before that, it was a 14-game regular season schedule, and you had 6 preseason games. Mm-hmm. Now, there's just, I mean, we're talking about something that's only been, what, 35 years ago or so, 34 years ago.
Well, that's more than a generation.
But that is a generation. I was about to say, that is a generation for a lot of people here. So in that regard, back then, it wasn't quite as bad because back at that time, as I suggested earlier, this was not as much of a full-time, year-round job for these athletes then as it is now. Plus, 34 years ago, the salaries weren't anywhere near where they are now.
Ticket prices weren't high. Salaries weren't that high. You didn't have to pay out the nose to park.
There wasn't anything at stake. And so you had a chance to see. You had 3 home preseason games. 3 home games, which is a ton of home games. And so chances are 2 out of those 3 games, you were going to see your share of starters. So you could justify it because those starters had to play their way into shape. I always remember the movie Paper Lion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had George Plimpton and the Detroit Lions. And looking at the quarterbacks and Earl Morrill, I think, was there at the time. And Greg Landry was there at the time. And, you know, George Plimpton was playing quarterback. And Alex Karras was the defensive lineman. And how these guys would come into camp and use camp to get themselves into shape. Mm-hmm. And then the old documentaries of the Baltimore Colts and Johnny Unitas. I remember having to work himself into shape. And... you know, in those days, back then, I mean, those guys needed camp. I mean, conditioning test that these guys would have to take, it was non-existent because no one would have passed it back then. Nobody. There wasn't anybody that was in shape. They used preseason to get themselves into shape.
They'd have to take the conditioning run at the end of camp.
Right. And then if you flunked it, well, then obviously you're not going to be able to play football.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, that's why I always chuckle when I see so-and-so has failed his preseason conditioning test. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, that's just, there's really no excuse for that these days.
No.
Either that or someone
unless he was injured and
unless he was hurt.
You know.
Or either that or somebody is more old school than we think he is. And he's back in
I gotta get in shape.
Back in the 1970s. He's using camp for shape and you can't do that anymore. So I would love your thoughts on what you think about the proposal such as it is over, trying to revamp the preseason because it's just, I just got sick of it. It was awful.
Let's make it happen. Were you watching a lot of Jets games, too?
Wow. The Jets did finally score a touchdown.
Yeah, they did in the 4th and meaningless preseason game.
which makes it even more meaningless, renders it more meaningless.
Right.
You know? All right. Before we get to some emails and such,
my prediction?
Well, let me get your, I'll get your prediction on wins on the Super Bowl, but let me first start out with asking you about the, residents of the AFC East. Bills, Jets, Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Have you watched any of, Hard Knocks with the Dolphins?
Yes. Yeah. I don't have HBO at home, but when we go on our road, our two road games for the preseason, we typically have hotel rooms that have HBO, so I was able to see a couple of those episodes. I think the way you listed, what did you say? Bills, Jets, Dolphins? I think that's probably how it's going to shake out.
Shake out that
underneath
way?
The Patriots at the top. They're still the class of the division, and I think Buffalo will be competitive. The Jets and Dolphins will be fighting for that bottom spot.
So you think the Bills have passed the Jets in the hierarchy in the AFC East?
Yeah, not by much, but yeah. So that's why I think the Bills defensively are better. Offensively, I think they could be more consistent. And the Jets just are a circus. It's really embarrassing what's going on over there. It's the last run, I think, for Tannenbaum and Ryan and that crew.
Did you think the Dolphins have made a good choice, number one, with the coach, and number two, by going with the rookie quarterback?
You mean in drafting him or in giving him the
reins? Giving him the reins.
Well, drafting him, you can make an argument, yeah, he's, you know, quarterback is always a tough position to gamble on, so I can't fault them for taking the position. I'm a little hesitant about throwing him out there this early, especially when you did pretty well with Matt Moore as your starter in the late half of last year. I think he did enough to deserve to at least start the year and then let the rookie earn the job after, you know, some actual football was, you know, if Matt Moore comes out and lays an egg, then you have legitimate reason to say, okay, go ahead. You put Tannehill in right off the bat. I know what they're thinking. Last year, all these rookie quarterbacks came in and had success the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to duplicate it with Tannehill. I think it's very risky, especially considering this guy hasn't been a full-time quarterback for very long. Remember, he was a receiver at Texas A&M.
He started out that way.
Became a quarterback.
Started out that way.
You know? So I think they're going to have their growing pains with him.
Interesting.
And I think the Jets have just enough talent on defense that they'll be competitive for a little while. But ultimately, I think the Bills will be at least a game better than them in the standings.
Are the Bills a wild card contender?
Contender, but they don't make it.
Okay. All right. So now let's get to push coming to shove here.
Mm-hmm.
Wins for the Patriots.
Best case scenario has them with 13.
That's best case scenario?
Yeah.
Why best?
My worst case scenario is no less than 10 wins. Let me just say that.
Really?
Yeah. They're a good team. They're a good team, and there's not a whole lot of other good teams in the AFC.
Well, that's why I'm saying 10 sounds a little low, Eric.
That's a worst-case scenario, John.
You know, I would say worst-case scenario, quite honestly, has got to be 12.
No, I think you're giving them a little too much credit there.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. But I think they can go 13-3. I think more likely they'll go 12-4.
Where are the four losses on the schedule?
Well, Houston, I think, if it weren't for injuries, was the best team in the AFC last year. And they proved it. They could have very easily beaten and should have beaten the Ravens in Baltimore the playoffs.
Could have.
They were the best team in the AFC. Injuries is what screwed them. If they can stay healthy this year, they're going to be competitive. They're going to be Super Bowl competitors if they stay healthy. That's a potential loss here in Foxborough in December.
Okay.
I still think the AFC East isn't sewn up completely. I mean, you can't just wipe the slate clean and say they're going to go 6-0 in the division. The Bills, I think, proved last year that they're capable. They could win a game, whether it's here or in Buffalo. The Jets, say what you want about their circus, but they do play you tough. That could be a potential loss. And I think Baltimore, San Francisco, those are two tough games.
Well,
I
would agree with you that they're tough games. There's no doubt about that. However, I would say that the Patriots find a way to win at least one or two of those, and
sure,
they would pretty much have to. Worst case scenario, they wouldn't win any, and I think they'd still go 12-4.
So you think they go 6-0 in the Division?
I think there's a chance they can lose one in the division. I think there's a chance. And I'm saying that they would, even if they lose one, even if they only win one game that we have pegged as a potential loss, that's still 12 wins. Still 12 wins.
Okay, so Baltimore, Houston, San Fran, and a division, is the worst-case scenario.
That's what I think would be the worst-case scenario. Best-case scenario, I think they go 16-0. I think it's entirely possible, provided health remains intact. I think they can. I didn't think this a month ago. Okay, I did not. Before this season started, before the preseason started, you know, honestly, I'm not sure. I guess I gave it some thought to the point where, you know, I kept thinking about the schedule and the way these guys game plan every week, the way that they just attack things methodically, and provided they don't have any huge injuries here. In other words, they don't lose a Brady, they don't lose a Gronk, they don't lose, you know, a couple of offensive linemen, or they don't lose a Mayo or a Hightower. You know, I mean, obviously the significant injuries can affect the outcome of a game. There's no question about that. Not an excuse, but it would be a reason for a potential loss, because you're just not going to have personnel groupings and you're not going to have depth. But because of that, even though it was a rotten preseason, as I've already indicated, I just thought there's no reason why, if this team stays healthy and stays as focused as they have in the past, there's no reason why they can't make a run again at 16-0.
Yeah, they can make a run at it. It's so difficult.
Well, of course it is, and we know that from 07, and it doesn't mean squat even then, because they lost the ultimate game, so we know that. So I'm not saying, oh, they're going to go 19-0 win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I think best case scenario, there is a chance they can go 16-0. Now, as far as a number is concerned, I'm going with 14, and that's what they did last year. I am going to go with 14 wins. Because I think that they will win a couple of those tough games, and I think they'll probably lose a tough game or two, and you know that they always figure out a way to lose one that they probably shouldn't have. But I am going to stick with 14, because I think they'll get fired up enough for the opponents that are seen as quote-unquote marquee teams. Mm-hmm. And I know the Patriots will be fired up for the divisional opponents. I tend to think that this team could go undefeated in the division.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Because I think they feel like they owe Buffalo a little something from a year ago. Yeah. So I think that there's a possibility that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say 14 in terms of the wins. That's going to be my thought. Now, okay. Super Bowl, before I let you go.
I think they'll beat the Texans in the AFC title game, the Patriots.
And you were just touting Houston here, telling me that they had the best talent in the league.
They did, and I think the Patriots.
So what happened?
I think the Patriots will upset them in the AFC title game.
Oh, it's going to be an upset.
Yes, I think it'll be in Houston.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think 13 wins for the Patriots only gets them the 2 seed? Houston's going to get 14 wins?
They might.
I don't see that
they
happening.
Might.
I don't see happening.
It's going to be a battle for the number one.
Wow.
Number one seed. I think it goes to Houston.
Patriots get to 13. I think they probably have the one. That's what I think. I'm not sure anybody else is capable of that in this division.
Maybe.
Or in this conference.
But they beat Houston in the AFC title game.
Okay.
Packers is the opponent.
Packers.
In the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, you and I are in agreement here, because I also think Packers.
Oh, yeah?
I think Packers-Patriots. That's what I think. I think this team should get back to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to say win. But anything short of returning to the Super Bowl the way that this team is put together, to me, would be a disappointment. Yeah. We talked about that, you'll recall, last year during the course of the season. What would be considered a good year? And we thought, well, you know, a couple of rounds of the playoffs. Getting the Super Bowl would be a great year. Yeah. This year, getting the Super Bowl is expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because this team is largely intact, and they have made an upgrade, we think, in personnel defensively, if not offensively. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
I'm wrong?
No, you're right. I was agreeing with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Just a matter of semantics here.
Yeah. Okay. Too many double negatives.
Yeah, that's right.
Am I not wrong?
Am I not wrong?
Yes, you're not.
Yes, you are not wrong. Yeah. Okay. Got it. All right. So anyway, that's my thoughts. Love to hear yours as well. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Number of wins, your 2 Super Bowl teams for this year as we open up 2012. Find me on Facebook, John.Rook, and the Twitter page is @JRook0722. So get me on Twitter as well. Become a follower. Eric, I'll see you next week, I assume, right?
Have a safe trip to Cincy.
Yep. Cincy will college football tomorrow, and then we'll jump into it in earnest, all right?
Very good.
All right, we're going to take the time time out here. Get your questions, get your comments, get them coming. Phone line as well, 508-298-0398 if you've got some questions, because up next we've got the guru, Russell Baxter, in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Hour number two, debut edition, Patriots Playbook, Patriots.com Radio. 2012 season has arrived, my friends. We welcome you back inside the Playbook. I'm John Rook. Thanks to Eric Scalavino of Patriots Football Weekly, who will continue to be a contributor throughout the course of the season for us, a couple of days a week in the opening hour of the program. And I know today's Wednesday, but there are a couple of reasons that our good friend Russell Baxter is making an appearance today. Number one, because, well, he's a good friend. Number two, the NFL season actually kicks off tonight, and we'll get into that in just a moment. And number three, I already have tomorrow off. So, Russell, thanks for adjusting your schedule.
Well, hello there, sir. How are you?
It's great to talk to you again.
It's great to talk to you again, too.
I will just let everyone know that it's because I have a college game. I had two quick college games on my schedule this year because I also do a lot of college football coverage. I'll be in the Queen City of Cincinnati tomorrow night, so that's why I won't be here for the program tomorrow. But then I have to go like a whole nother month before I have another college game. So it's all good. We're ready to get rolling again. And just for those that are uninitiated, obviously our relationship goes back a dozen years or more now through our time at ESPN together, but currently you write for, well, profootballguru.com is your website.
Yeah.
I know you write for, you write for the new NFL magazine, correct?
Well, no, the NFL magazine is not around anymore.
Oh, it died a quick death, did it?
Well, I had a great time while I was going. I was involved in two of the last four issues.
I gotcha.
And it was a fantastic experience.
Well, I'm glad.
Great. We had a lot of fun doing numbers, doing draft history, and so on. But I somehow managed to find a way to keep busy with a few other things.
Yes. So. Cold Hard Football Facts. So Kerry Byrne is going to be doing a program here on Patriots.com Radio for us as well. And I know you're doing some stuff for them. And you also started some things for Bleacher Report, correct?
That is correct. And having a blast with that, too. I'm having a lot of fun, John. I'm watching football and I'm writing about football. And when they tell me that's a job, you let me know.
I think that's the way we kind of all feel about it. All right, so let me just get a couple of takeaways then, Russell, from the offseason, if you will. And I realize that the NFL is probably as close to having no offseason as any major sport really that's out there, even though the games aren't played because we didn't have any work stoppage this year. So we actually had, you know, camps and OTAs, and we had, you know, physicals, and we had, you know, all combines. We had all this stuff going on this year, which was great to have back again. But was there anything from the end of last year to the start of this year when the Giants actually knocked off the Patriots in the Super Bowl? I have to cringe every time I say that around here. I think it's almost mandated. It's almost like, you know, how you go to church and if you're Catholic, you have to genuflect. Well, you have to cringe every time you say the Giants, you know, won a game because it's happened now twice in the last, what, 5-6 years. But was there anything definitive in your mind that signaled, I don't know, a different era in terms of the NFL? Because I have an overwhelming feeling that the NFL is moving in a different direction, and I'm not quite sure I can put my finger on what direction it's going. Does that make any sense?
No, of course it makes sense, because this is an ever-evolving game.
Right.
And, you know, right now, obviously, listen, there were a lot of storylines in the offseason, which I'm sure in some ways, John, there are people tired of hearing about them.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's spin it forward to actually maybe on the field.
Good.
Okay, now, last year, and you see, I don't really, I try not to do the gut reaction of 1 year,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
which is why I'm incredibly curious about this season. Last year, we had three quarterbacks throw for 5,000 yards.
Right.
Before that, it had only happened twice in the history of the league. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had three teams score 500 or more points. Never before in the history of the league did three teams do that in the same season.
Wow.
Okay. Now, we also last year had a lockout. So I want to see this year, and combined with the fact that we have almost one third of the league with either first or second year quarterbacks, and I know some of those first year quarterbacks threw for 4,000 yards last year.
Correct.
I'm curious to see what kind of football we're really going to see this year. Because I know that after a year of adjustment a lot of times, and you know this as well as anyone, you know, the NFL likes scoring. And more times than not, when they change the rules throughout the year, and 1978 was really the first massive rule change, it usually favors the offense. I'm going to be curious to see what defenses and running games going this year, because last year it almost became you either sacked the quarterback or he threw a touchdown pass.
Right.
I mean, case in point, the Minnesota Vikings had 50 sacks last year, 22 by Jared Allen. They gave up 34 touchdown passes, the most in the league.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, there's not always, listen, Baltimore had 48 and the Giants had 48. I almost surprised the Giants had 48 because they were so banged up on the defensive line in and out and in and out. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see counter reactions this whole season. You know, I did a piece for Bleacher Report about bowl predictions. I predicted, or I am predicting, and I don't know if people took them serious or not, I don't think we're going to have a 5,000-yard passer this year.
Really?
You think we're going to have a 6,000-yard passer.
Well, that's kind of what I thought. I mean,
no,
it seemed to me that we're definitely trending toward more. I don't know that the defenses are catching up yet.
Well, I don't know either, and that's what I want to see this year. That's what I'm really, really curious about, because when you have divisions in a sense like the NFC North, where you have, well, you got Christian Ponder, it's only his second season, but Aaron Rodgers, 45 touchdowns and 6 picks. Matthew Stafford throws 41 touchdown passes and over 5,000. By the way, Aaron Rodgers did 45 and 6 in 15 games. He didn't play the last game of the season.
Right.
When his backup was busy throwing 6 touchdown passes against
the
Lions.
That's okay. Right, yeah.
Jay Cutler comes back and was the Bears got dealt double bad luck last year. They lose Cutler with 6 games to go, then they lose Forte. They were a 7-3 team. I think they're very, very intriguing. But, John, the NFC South, all those teams can, I think, put points on the board. And I'm not sure if any of those teams, even Atlanta, can stop the other teams from putting points on the board.
Yeah.
You know, Tampa Bay last year went into a tailspin where they wound up giving up 494 points, tied for the fourth most in the history of the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Carolina goes from 196 to 406 scoring. Oh, by the way, they gave up 429, which was the most in the history of their team.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, we just named two teams in the same division that set franchise records for points allowed.
Right. You're right. And, of course, obviously we know the Patriots had their struggles on defense last year, and yet the Patriots were really maybe a Wes Welker drop pass from winning the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, they were, because they do other things well. But here has been the problem with them, and you know this as well as anyone, and I hate to do revisionist history, but it's happened now 3 times.
Yeah.
Against the Giants.
Yep.
The Giants have driven the ball down the field against them and scored a touchdown with 35 seconds left, Plaxico Burress.
Mm-hmm.
15 seconds left, Jake Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
57 seconds left, Ahmad Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the Patriots have scored 14 points, 20 points, 17 points.
17 points, yeah.
So, you know, there's still a lot to be said for the Giants got hot last year. Why? Because suddenly they had the 1-2 punch again of Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw. Their pass rush got healthy. They went from giving 25 points a game up in the regular season to 14 in the postseason. And by the way, talk about ball security. Who's been the last 2 years, the Patriots, 10 turnovers 1 year, 17 the next year. I mean, phenomenal.
Right.
Patriots had that. I mean, the Giants had that 4-game postseason streak last year when they beat Atlanta, Green Bay, San Francisco, New England, and committed a total of 1 turnover in the 4 games.
Right. All right, so just because of that, I mean, I get the impression then, you know, that if defenses haven't yet caught up to offenses, does this necessarily mean then that, you know, you have to subscribe to the old school theory that defenses win championships? I thought we saw that come as close to, you know, not happening as we've ever seen it in the history of the NFL. Are we still, getting back to the original question here, are we still trending toward that in the NFL? Or do you see some point in time, if not this year, somewhere else, where that actually, you know, might take a step back and we might go back another 20 or 30 years to that sort of mentality?
Well, listen, I still keep on waiting for these high-scoring teams to win the Super Bowl. Okay? Now, those teams we mentioned earlier, the 3 5,000-yard passers, they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The 3 teams that scored 500 points, they didn't win the Super Bowl.
No, they didn't.
In fact, if you go, John, and by the way, the Saints, 4th most points in the season in NFL history last year, 547. Packers, 560, 2nd most points in a season in NFL history. In fact, the top 6 seasons in terms of total points scored No Super Bowl.
Okay.
No Super Bowl wins, I should say. Okay? Obviously, the Patriots, 589. The Vikings in 98 with the 556.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Theismann's Redskins, 541 points in 1983. Which, think about that. It's staggering.
Mm-hmm.
And they got wiped out by 29 points in the Super Bowl. You got to have something. You got to bring something. You've got to offset something. And I think what we're going to see this year, and just the theory is, I think we could see a bunch of players catch 100 passes.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's going to necessarily be for the yards that everybody's anticipating. And, I mean, listen, they got Calvin Johnson out there. And a guy who I think is going to have a big year is Julio Jones in Atlanta, because I think Atlanta is not that they still don't have Michael Turner, John, but maybe a little more Roddy White, Julio Jones to offset what the other teams in the division do in terms of putting up points. So it's going to be an, you know, every action has a reaction. And I'm just going to be curious to see what kind of football we did last year. Because last year, if nobody was in shape and no rookie knew what they were doing, that was a great imitation of a football season.
Right, right. Absolutely. Russell Baxter with us from ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Cold Hauler, Cold Hard Football Facts, and probably knows more about football than, well, I'll put it to you this way. He has more knowledge in his little finger than a lot of us have in our entire bodies about the sport of pro football. And those of you that have been a part of the program, have listened to us over the course of the last, now this is our 12th year together here on Patriots.com radio, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we know now that, you know, high-scoring teams don't necessarily, at least we haven't seen yet, the instance of high-scoring teams translating yet into championship teams. We have the kickoff to the NFL season tonight, Russell, with the Dallas Cowboys and the defending champs, those New York Giants. Why are we not seeing a lot of respect paid toward the Giants in terms of preseason thoughts for this year, by your estimation?
Well, I think there's two theories. There were an awful lot of cars and vans and trucks over at the other New York team during the summer.
Yeah.
The team that was actually 8-8 and didn't make the playoffs. And I think to a degree that people still have in their minds that, and this, these are facts, okay? This was a 9-7 Giants team.
Mm-hmm.
This was a team that got outscored during the regular season. So all these years where we have teams where we think they're quote-unquote one-year wonders, okay? And you know how hard it is to repeat. The 2003-2004 Patriots are the last team to repeat, okay?
Right.
In fact, it's even hard. I like to point this out. In 2003, the Patriots went 14-2 and won the Super Bowl. They had the best record in the league that year.
Yep.
That's the last team to have the best record in the league and win the Super Bowl.
In 2002?
2003.
Three.
It's been 8 straight years that the team with the best record in football has not won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, think about it. Green Bay was 8-6 off a 2-game losing streak, got hot at the end of the year, and beat the Steelers in Super Bowl 45.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants were coming off a second loss of the season to the 5-11 Redskins at 7-7. Got hot. Got in the playoffs. They had the worst record of the 6 playoff teams in the NFC last year and won the Super Bowl. I think that's part of it. I think that's definitely part of it because, you know, when you look back, they weren't 15-1 like the Packers were, although they didn't win it. They weren't 12-4. They were 9-7, and I think that's a big part of it. And the Giants and winning these championships twice in the last 5 years have basically gotten hot at the right time. A lot of people like to point out Eli Manning's 8-3 playoff record, which is also Tom Coughlin's playoff record with the Giants. And it is what it is, and it's terrific. But there is also those 3 losses where they either won the Super Bowl as a lower seed or wild card twice, which gives them the 8 wins. The other 3 times they were 1-out in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's you combine all those factors, and I also think there's an elevated respect or elevated attention on a 15-1 Green Bay team. San Francisco, New Orleans, both 13-3 last year. That I think that 9-7. Almost mentally sticks in people's crawl and say, all right, they did win the Super Bowl, but how good were they really last year?
Right. Well, then I think this begs the question. Is it more important to get started well early, or is it more important now to just be that hot team at the right time at the end of the year?
Well, as of late, it's been the hot team. I mean, you can even go back 5 years. The Giants, when they won the Super Bowl with the Patriots in 07, were 10-6. The following year, the 9-7 Arizona Cardinals went to the Super Bowl and came within about 3 minutes of beating the Steelers that year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have rarely seen. Now, a couple years ago, we did see New Orleans and Indianapolis. They were both the number one seeds in their respective conferences, and they both made it to the Super Bowl. Of course, that was the first time we had seen that in 16 years since the 93 season. So it is important. I think that's also why teams try to be healthy at the end of the year, and I understand that it's a fine line of playing well at the end of the year, staying healthy. It's why, well, let's be honest, it's why coaching in this league is so very, very important and why it's going to be incredibly intriguing that despite their talent, how the New Orleans Saints are going to fare this year.
Yeah, obviously that they're kind of an enigma because we know that they have some talent and some ability. The Patriots got a chance to, you know, see them here in the preseason, albeit, you know, not a huge look because it is the preseason after all. But no one really knows what's going to happen to a team like that and whether or not they'll be hurt by depth, whether or not Sean Payton's absence because of the whole, you know, Bounty Gate thing is going to end up affecting the team on down the line. It's the great question. We don't know until we actually get into it. The question that I have asked today, and before we kind of take a look at some of the games around the league and the opening week here, Russell, as we normally do on our Thursday visits, it would be, who are your, the question I've asked of the fans today is, who are your two Super Bowl teams? So I wanted to put you right on the spot, and who do you think comes out of this whole thing before the season starts and represents either league? I won't ask you to pick a winner unless you want to, but who are liable to be there? I mean, seems to me that the NFC is stacked this year more so than the AFC, so I give the edge overall from top to bottom in depth to the National Football Conference again this year.
Well, you kind of spoiled it for me, John, because I was hoping you were just going to say who's going to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, I can say it that way too. But
okay.
then again, I have time to kill here. It's a talk show.
I was hoping you could say it that way, so then I could simply give him my stock answer from the last 20 years, which is I am.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
It always works that
way. You will make the Super Bowl. Yes, you will.
Well, you know, it's funny that the contrast in the conferences in terms of the Super Bowl for the last decade or so is the NFC has been a smorgasbord. Okay. Last year, the Giants went. And it snapped, what, like 10 different teams in a row who had gone to the Super Bowl for the NFC?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the AFC, if you go back, we go back to the Patriots, but let's go back 10 years ago when the Raiders went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
In order, since then, Patriots, Steelers, Colts, Patriots, Steelers, Colts. Steelers, Patriots.
Okay.
Notice a trend?
Yeah, kind of.
Only three teams in the last 9 years have represented the AFC in the Super Bowl. And three, actually, it's, you know, you could do three teams in 10 of the last 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, but let's give credit where credit's due. The Patriots have been to almost half of them, five of the last 11. I mean, it's an incredible run.
That's right.
And that's why the dynasty, in my mind, I don't care that they have not won the Super Bowl two of the last 5 years. Excellence and longevity is what makes a dynasty, and that's why they continue, in my mind, to be a dynasty. And I have a new team coming out. I can't even really say they're a new team in the NFC because they've had a storied history. They just haven't been there in a long time.
Right.
And in the AFC, I am going to buck the trend. And I, for people who have listened to the show for a long time, I think they both have kind of got to know us somewhat personally as well. To a degree. People who know me know that I come from a big family, and family is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important that the family stays together for holidays. And since the Super Bowl is a holiday.
National holiday, it should
national
be.
National holiday.
Yes.
I thought it would be very, very convenient that maybe John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh
I was wondering why we didn't get more of that because I thought about that in the preseason. I'm thinking we could have a Harbaugh Bowl, and it's not far fetched.
No, I don't think it's far fetched at all, and it actually is. You know, it almost would be in this day and age, almost a semi throwback game.
It would be, wouldn't it?
These are teams that play some rock 'em sock 'em defense. San Francisco. You know, with all due respect to some of the other teams in the league, I'm going to say offensively and defensively combined, San Francisco may be the most physical team in the league. I mean, you saw what happened when the Saints went in there last year in that playoff game.
Sure, sure.
And I thought the hitting set the tone for that game. Now, it turned out to be a wild 36-32 game. But messages were sent very, very early in that game in terms of the type of game it was going to be played.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, two teams that have very good running game, two teams who have what is this term? It's called game managers.
Yeah.
Game managers. Guess what? Just in. All 32 quarterbacks are game managers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the job description. Just because a guy doesn't throw a lot of touchdown passes and interceptions and he's not the focal point of your team doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback. Okay? Here's what we learned last year, John, and you know this as well as anyone. When you build your entire team around your quarterback,
yeah,
you can go 2-14 when he's not around.
That's also true.
Okay? When you build a team that doesn't run, throws the ball to get a lead, gets up 14 or 21 points, their defense has no interest in stopping the run because it's usually not a factor. You turn loose pass rushers to get turnovers, and then the guy who makes the offense and the defense run is not around. And, you know, that's what happened with the Colts last year. It wasn't just that they lost Peyton Manning. It's the fact that they built the team around everything that Peyton Manning did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it just doesn't work that way. It's great if it's handball or bowling or tennis. It
right.
doesn't work in a team game. You've got to have all components going. And so to my original point, defense, both teams can run the ball. I think, I think the 49ers made some very good upgrades. I like the Moss addition, and hopefully he's motivated, and we see a different Randy Moss than the last time we saw him play football.
Yep.
But I like the Manningham addition. I like the Brandon Jacobs addition. Very deep in the backfield, good offensive line. The Ravens the same way, maybe not as strong in the offensive line as San Francisco is. Maybe an emerging star in their wide receiver in Torrey Smith. Defense still get down. I know Terrell Suggs is going to be absent at least the first 6 weeks, but I still think they have. You know, both of these teams might have the two best overall defensive linemen in the game. I'm talking about overall, in Justin Smith and Haloti Ngata.
Yep.
So maybe it's just me being a little old school, but I'm going to go to the Niners to defeat the Ravens in Super Bowl 47.
So you're bringing back a little old school. I have to admit, we were a little bit more of a homer around here. I had Packers and Patriots, although I did not pick a winner. But I thought that the Packers, to me, just because of the disappointment of last year,
mm-hmm.
And largely seeming like their personnel is intact, I had the Packers, although I wanted to pick the 49ers. I just wasn't quite sure I was ready to get them over the hump. So just call it a gut feeling. And maybe just a little bit old school too, because quite frankly, you know, if the Patriots could play anybody in the Super Bowl, I'm one of those, you know, masochists that quite frankly, I'd love to see them play the Giants again. And of course everybody around here would think it's Armageddon, but I'd love to see them do it because they'd have a chance to do it. And plus, the Giants are in their heads now. So I'd love to see them have an opportunity to exercise that demon.
Well, the way it's been done to them would certainly be
no question
something that would be in their heads.
But no question.
I'll do a shameless plug here. If you follow me on Twitter, Backs Football Guru, I have been accumulating followers. Anybody wants to send in their Super Bowl pick, and we've been posting them on the website so people can either chuckle at each other's or, you know, keep it in mind and stuff. You want to send in your Super Bowl pick? That would be great to anybody listening out there. And at the end of the year, we'll find out who either got luckiest or maybe none of us will be right. Bottom line is, the reason I'm bringing it up is I've probably seen more Packers-Patriots picks.
Really?
Of the 70 picks I've gotten so far.
That's the popular pick, huh?
Else. That's a very popular pick is Green Bay-New England.
Interesting.
And ironically enough, it would take place in the Superdome, which once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away.
We had that game.
Green Bay, New England Super Bowl.
Yes, we did.
Where the kick returner
mm-hmm.
was the MVP.
That's exactly right. A guy named Drew Bledsoe was quarterbacking the Patriots that day. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have now, and I wish I could be a little bit more original than Packers-Patriots, but that was just kind of off the top of the head. Our kickoff tonight, the opening game of the NFL season, the defending champ Giants at home against the Dallas Cowboys. I guess I shouldn't be, but I am a little bit surprised the Giants aren't quite as respected as maybe a defending champ should be. And I know that you've already sort of alluded to that, largely because of the 9-7 record and getting hot at the right time last year during the playoff run, and then clearly, you know, having the ball again bounce their way once it got to the big game as well. But the great enigma here might also be the Dallas Cowboys, a team that certainly seems to have talent, but they find a way to bumble and stumble toward the end of the year as well. So what do we read into a win by either side tonight, knowing that at least recently a potential Super Bowl team doesn't necessarily have to win in week one?
No, it's actually served the Giants really, really well. As I was pointing out in my column this morning,
right,
37-8-1 is the record for a team in the first game of the season in terms of going on to win the Super Bowl. So only 8 times has a team lost its first game of the season and gone on to win the Super Bowl later.
Mm-hmm.
3 of the 8 are actually by the New York Giants. 1986, 2007 when they were actually 0-2, and then, of course, last year when they lost to the Redskins. You know, the thing that will be fun about this game is because it's actually being played on a Wednesday, not that Thursday's that big of a difference,
right,
is we will now have an extra day to either put either one of these teams in the Super Bowl or an extra day to have why one of them is going to have the first pick in the draft next April.
Mm-hmm.
It will be the ultimate overanalyzation of a Week 1 game. What I think is really intriguing for Dallas is this is actually the third time they play the Giants in the last 5 games they've played. And if you go back the last 6 games they played against the Giants, they're 1-5, but probably even more disturbing, giving up about 32 points a game.
Ooh.
Okay?
That's no doomsday D right there.
All 5 of those losses, they gave up at least 31 points.
Yeah, right.
And last year, this the downfall of the Cowboys was fairly simple, because I know it had to be Tony Romo's fault, of course, right?
Right.
Of course, Tony Romo doesn't play in the secondary that last year did not match up with either the Eagles receivers or the Giants receivers. Now, those are two pretty good receiving cores, but they went 0-4 against those two teams, and in every one of those games, they gave up at least 2 touchdown passes.
Okay.
Okay, so the 9 of 24 touchdown passes they gave up last year were in the 4 losses to Philly and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also look at the Giants' secondary situation tonight, and I think it's a little shaky. So I think the Giants, you know, I don't know if the Giants are the better team right now. And, of course, when it comes to the Giants, they usually wait to be the better team in December anyway. But I'm kind of leaning toward the Cowboys tonight, and I think it's because of their ability to maybe – with Dez Bryant and Miles Austin, take advantage of some matchups. There's been so much made about Jason Witten not playing, and he's in a very, very important safety valve. There's no doubt about it. But I think the Cowboys, you might see them catch the Giants napping a couple of times with play action with DeMarco Murray, you know, maybe get out some swing passes to him as well, maybe, you know, use their backs to replace Witten. But, you know, when Dez Bryant and Miles Austin are both on, which we didn't see that a lot of that last year because of Austin being injured and Bryant, you know, being banged up at times. Remember, it was Laurent Robinson, who's now with Jacksonville, caught 11 touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the last time the defending Super Bowl champion lost their first game, you have to go way back to 1999, which was the Denver Broncos, who had watched John Elway retire months earlier. That's it. It's been 12 years in a row that the defending Super Bowl champion has won their opening game. But I'm going to call a shot here and says that ends tonight, and I'm going to go with the Cowboys and maybe a little bit of a mini upset.
Bucking the trend on week one. You got to love it. A couple of key games then from Sunday in week one. And again, realize that it's early, but, you know, we're just getting to know some of these teams because, you know, the preseason is really an awful way to get to know teams. I think
Absolutely.
Even you'll admit that. You just don't see anything of these teams because they've got nothing to show. But in our own division, in the AFC East, you've got the Bills at the Jets on Sunday afternoon. There are a lot of people who seem to think the Bills have passed the Jets in terms of the hierarchy within the division. Are you one of those?
I'm kind of leaning that way because I will say this about the Jets, who, of course, we all know scored 1 touchdown in the preseason. If the Jets are keeping this offense of theirs under wraps, the Wildcat and the various things that they're going to do, the greatest case of espionage I've ever seen in my life. Okay? Because, I mean, you want to talk about non-existent. I mean, listen, I'm not sure the direction the Jets are headed. I am sure the direction the Bills are headed for this reason. I think maybe they finally figured out that if you want to beat the New England Patriots in your own division, you got to knock Tom Brady down a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is what the Giants do so well when they play them. So they went out and got Mario Williams, and they went out and got Mark Anderson, and now they team him with Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius and Dave Wannstedt, who's pretty good at putting together a 4-3 defense.
Yep.
Very, very intriguing front four. Remember the Bills last year had 29 sacks. That was the bad news. The worst news was the fact that 10 of the 29 came in one game.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw them last year come full circle in the span of, what, 15 weeks? Remember they were losing to the Patriots 21-0 and came back and won the game? And then remember the season finale last year when they were beating the Patriots 21-0?
Right.
And gave up 49 consecutive points. So 3-0 went to 3-10 last year, and the Bills, who still haven't been to a playoff game since the Music City Miracle. This is a tall order to go into New York, because I'm sure the Jets will certainly have some wrinkles. There's no doubt about that. But one guy the Bills lost last year, John, who I think kind of got lost once he was gone, because I think so much focus went on Ryan Fitzpatrick, who led the league in interceptions, face it. Fred Jackson was a dynamite back last year.
Mm-hmm.
10 games, 6 100-yard rushing games in the 10 games he played. And, yeah, I think the Jets' defense is going to be very intriguing this year. I like what they did with the safeties with Jeremiah Bell and LaRon Landry. But if the Bills are headed where they could be headed, I don't know if they're a playoff team, but I think they might be a team with a winning record this year. It's always important to hold serve.
Yep.
But I'm going to go, well, listen, I guess I'll just make it a whole disappointing weekend at the Meadowlands here. I'll have the Bills beat the Jets at New York.
Oh, could be a tough weekend to be a New York football fan.
But think of the newspaper coverage for the next couple of days.
Got to love the back page of the Post already. In the other game in the AFC East has the Dolphins facing, certainly, I think, again, one of the preseason favorites in the AFC, the Houston Texans. Now, Houston's a team that, you know, for the injuries that they had last year, might have been the most talented team in the entire AFC. They get a chance now to get everybody healthy. Question is, can they put it together?
Well, you know, very intriguing. There were a couple years, and in fact, I know this guy that was always picking the Houston Texans to do either really well or even get to the Super Bowl.
There was this guy named Baxter, I think.
Different website.
Yeah.
You're
bailing on the Texans this year, Russell.
I'm not bailing, but here's what I'll point out. And you see it. Isn't it funny that when things are supposed to happen your way, they don't? And when you deal with adversity, suddenly maybe you try a little harder and things work out well. Now, a lot of people are going to be skeptical right off the bat and say, well, they would have never won the division if Peyton Manning was playing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bottom line is Peyton Manning didn't play last year. But the bottom line is they also lost Mario Williams for the last 11 games. And Andre Johnson was hurt. And
yeah.
Arian Foster was dinged at the end of the year. And they went through 3 quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, all those years where they had tons of talent, at least we thought they did, they couldn't get in the playoffs, and then last year they won the division, they won 10 games for the first time, they won a playoff game. And for all those, you know, it's interesting, for all those people, it's just the bounce of the ball, who felt that Baltimore outplayed New England in the AFC title game, and, you know, Lee Evans, Billy Cundiff, whatever, however you want to say it. Let's be honest, Houston outplayed Baltimore in the divisional playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And if it weren't for those turnovers, we might have seen Houston at least in the AFC title game. So, you know, there's a lot more to it than sometimes luck, and there's sometimes lot to it than just fortune in general. And I just thought it was intriguing that Houston went through so much adversity last year and managed to pull it out. Now, strange as it sounds, they play a team this week who they've never lost to. They're a perfect 6-0 against the Miami Dolphins, which is kind of interesting considering, you know, they've only been in the league 10 years. But the first thing that jumps out to me in here, John, is Ryan Tannehill, rookie quarterback. I have no problem with the road. Listen, we saw Cam Newton throw for 400 yards last year in his first start. Ryan Tannehill, meet Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. That might not be a very pleasant experience.
No, it might not. I would
so
say
he's going to see things as they all the rookies will, and other quarterbacks as well. They're all going to see things this week that they did not see in the preseason.
Okay. The other game that I think that really a lot of people are going to want to watch, because it could be the two favorites in the NFC get to go at each other Sunday afternoon. That's the 49ers playing at the Packers. That might be as good an early season game as we see.
Yes, almost a shame it's this early. In some ways.
That's more like a preseason. Yeah, I mean, or a mid-season special. But we're getting it in Week One, which is unusual.
Well, it was funny because I think some people thought we were going to see it last year, at least in the NFC title game. I mean, the two teams were a combined 28-4 last year. And, you know, MVP of the league in Aaron Rodgers, Alex Smith, who, you know, very efficient last year, cut back on turnovers, did exactly what he's supposed to do, and then proved in the playoffs if he had to step it up and come up with some big plays, he did. I mean, you think about his touchdown run and him driving them down the field against New Orleans. So I think what you're going to see with Alex Smith this year, who, by the way, gets to play with the same offensive coordinator for 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
No one's happier than he is. With Moss, with Manningham, with some of the other weapons they added, LaMichael James, the second-round pick from Oregon, I have a hard time believing that Alex Smith is only going to throw 5 interceptions all year.
Yeah, that would be a little bit tough to believe.
Right. I also find it hard to believe he'll throw less than 20 touchdown passes. He only threw 17 last year. Okay. In fact, it's been a while. I don't think people realize this. The NFC West hasn't exactly graced you with big numbers in terms of quarterbacks. There's no NFC West quarterback has thrown 20 touchdown passes the last two seasons. You have to go back to Kurt Warner when he was in Arizona in 2009 as the last NFC West quarterback. So that being said, there are also some pretty good defenses in the NFC West as well.
Sure.
Seattle's definitely coming. Arizona, I think, was a little underrated last year. We talked about the 49ers. So last year, they gave up the fewest points by their franchise since 1984, the year they won Super Bowl 19.
Wow, that's a long time.
And this was a team that lost Patrick Willis for a spell last year. And a guy named Larry Grant steps in and did a whale of a job for them. So they're deep, and they've added a little depth on that defense. But going into Lambeau, and I know there's a bad taste in the Packers' mouth for how it all ended last year. And the Niners the Packers have kind of had the Niners number as of late. I know this is a Niner team that, by the way, was very good last year on the road. 6-2. Remember some of the road games they won early in the year? At Philadelphia, at Cincinnati. I mean, they beat some good teams at Detroit. Jim Harbaugh is a different kind of coach, and he's made them a different kind of team. I think this is a nail biter, but I think I got to lean the Packers at home.
Okay. Well, before we run out of time here, Russell, I'd be remiss then if I didn't ask you your thoughts on the Patriots at the Titans, the Sunday afternoon 1 o'clock kickoff, and the Pats opener. You know, I know that there's some question marks as to whether or not the Patriots offensive line can adequately protect Tom Brady. We've talked about it here. The PFW guys have talked about it there, and whether or not the Titans, who had one of the worst pass rushes in the league, can put the kind of pressure on Brady that they need to in order to be successful. Turning it around, and clearly the Patriots' mission one has to be to stop Chris Johnson, you know, from running the football, but Jake Locker gets his first NFL start, so a lot of intrigue, I think, in that regard, built in for Sunday.
Well, that factor about the Titans' pass rush, they only had 28 sacks last year. They brought in Cameron Wimbley to play end. He was, you know, a linebacker mostly with the Browns and the Raiders. Now he comes in and plays defensive end. And I don't know if they can take advantage of New England's weakness. I think that's a great point. I'll tell you who intrigues me about Tennessee. Obviously, Jake Locker, like you said, making his first start. I really like what I see out of the rookie receiver, Kendall Wright. And I wouldn't be surprised if him and Locker have a decent afternoon. But I think the Patriots just come at you with so much, so many different things, so many different options. And again, pass protection is going to be obviously a problem. But I can also see New England turning to the young backs in Ridley and Vereen and offsetting a little of that as well. And, you know, I think Tennessee made a lot of strides last year. A very interesting team that finished 9-7, but at the same time lost to both Jacksonville and Indianapolis last year.
Right.
So some growing pains, obviously. Chris Johnson was not necessarily Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson looked fairly decent. So I could actually see numbers being put up by the Titans. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if they'll be touchdown numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be yardage numbers, but I don't know if they're necessarily going to be touchdowns. One thing about the Patriots, they know how to score touchdowns. That tight end combination is unbelievable out of this world, Hernandez and Gronkowski. You know, Brandon Lloyd is now there as well, and Wes Welker, Wes Welker was really, as you know, the common denominator in this offense that has evolved from Randy Moss and company to the tight ends and company. He was productive 5 years ago. He was productive last year. So when you catch 554 passes in 5 years, you know, you must be doing something right. And I think he is, safety valve might be not strong a word enough, because there's other things he does after the catch. I think he's just so important to what they do. And, you know, when push comes to shove, he pushes more than he shoves. So I'm going to be curious to see how Tennessee, and I think Tennessee could actually make a little noise in the AFC South. I don't know how much noise, but I think Mike Munchak's done a good job with them. But I just think they don't have, they're not a team that's going to come out and score 45 points or 35 points usually. And sometimes that's what you need to play with New England.
Sounds like a plan. Russell, I hope that we'll plan, I guess, to convene on Thursday afternoons throughout the course of the year and run down the schedule and look at the games and talk about the news that makes the NFL go around. Does that sound like a plan?
I'm in touch with that emotion, as you quote Rob Lowe in St. Elmo's Fire.
So. I'm in touch with that emotion. Boy, you are old school in it now. All right, my friend, it's good to talk to you again. Thank you so much for the time today, and as always, and I look forward to our weekly chats, if not more, throughout the course of the season.
Well, thank you for having me on for another year, and more importantly than anything else, I hope you're well.
Yes, sir.
And everybody enjoy the game tonight. It's great to have football back.
It certainly is. Thanks, Russell. Talk to you soon.
You got it, John.
Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts, and Bleacher Report joining us here inside the playbook. Let's get a quick break in here because I know we're due one, and then we can kind of reset. We'll try to get as many emails and calls in, and Kerry Byrne debuts his Cold Hard Football Facts show coming up here on Patriots.com Radio coming up.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Inside the playbook, we're just a couple of minutes away from Kerry Byrne joining us here as he gets his program on Wednesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time underway. Let me just a couple of quick emails here because of the folks that took the time to send them along today. Lars says, John, glad you're back with the playbook. My two Super Bowl teams are the Chicago Bears and the Patriots. I have a good feel for the Bears, a very good ground game. Now they have a good potential air game. Hopefully the offensive line does block and Cutler avoids getting smashed every time he steps back. He says, no, San Fran's not a tough team. This team is absolutely a media pet, hyper-hyped marketing product. It's a joke. Not bad. That's bringing it strong in week one. Thank you, Kerry. It's great to see you. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. How you doing?
Tell us a little bit about what you're going to bring to the table on your radio show coming up in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, we're very excited to have the cold hard football facts here on Patriots.com. You know, we do things a little bit differently, John. We're all about the stats, the data, right. The cold hard football facts, breaking down football statistically, what wins and loses games, and I think fans will dig what we bring to the table and how we look at football and what we have to say about the Patriots, quite frankly, and the NFL, the entire NFL, and we think fans are going
to
dig it.
That's really cool. So, and people will be able to get in touch with you as they get in touch with the program regularly, correct?
Yep, they can call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. They can email us, Facebook, Twitter. And we look forward to delivering a great product, John, just like you have.
Outstanding. Thank you. All right, that's coming up in a couple of moments here. Let me get a couple of other quick emails in here. Nathan says, John, here's my proposal for preseason. Cut one of the preseason games, add one regular season game at a neutral site. This way owners won't lose a home game to the UK, and the NFL can spread their brand more in the European, Mexican, Central American, and Canadian markets. I do think we are inching closer to seeing an international NFL team with the fact that we're now going to have the Jacksonville Jaguars play one home game a year each of the next 5 years. What do you think, Kerry?
You know, I think for travel reasons it's going to be pretty tough, but the NFL is pretty smart at marketing. We were talking about this off the air. There's a lot of NFL fans in the UK, and I think it's great for the development of the product.
They want to do it. Adam, in my hometown of Fort Worth, great to have you back, brother. Been a long offseason. Official prediction for 2012, 14-2. It was hard for me to pick a game we should lose. I said it last year. I'll say it again. Who's going to beat the Pats? No one in the AFC scares me. Texans lost too much on defense. We have the Ravens' number. Those are the only teams that will be a threat. All right, Steven in Miami, Pats win 13. I know I'm going to catch flack for this, but I'm picking Texans-Packers in the Super Bowl. Ooh, see, you know, that's actually refreshing. A Patriots fan that picks his team to win 13 games and then screw up in the playoffs. Way to go! Brian, John, glad to be back for another great and exciting season. You're missing out on the Texas heat down here. Thank you. Oh, that's right, he's in Longview. Brian in Longview. But you know you miss it. Yes, I do. I'll get right to it. Patriots will win 14 if everyone stays healthy. I know we didn't pick the schedule out, but no matter what, you still have to take care of business either way. I hope we can make it back to the Super Bowl and this time win in all. He says, go Pats. Blake from Southern Cal. Patriots record 13-3. Super Bowl prediction, Saints versus Pats. All right, interesting. And then Jason says, listening in, I had a question about Deion Branch, especially hearing that his locker may have been kept intact. Is it legal, in a league sense, for the Patriots to sign Branch in the offseason, give him a decent bonus, with the understanding he would be cut repeatedly throughout the season and then brought back on board to fill in gaps, certain matchups, what have you? I don't think it is, because if you bring him back, he still counts against the 53.
Yeah, and they, you know, they have so many weapons at their disposal this year. I don't think they have to worry about bringing him back.
No.
I mean, he's been a great player for the team, but
I think they could.
They could, yeah.
And I think they still might at some point, but I don't think they can do it in the way that that he potentially envisions it. So, Ryan on Facebook, I know this is crazy. I truly believe the Pats will go undefeated. It'll be hard, but I believe Coach and Brady are tired of getting close but not winning the big one. Brian says on Facebook, Chargers defeat the Giants in the Super Bowl, 12 wins for the Pats. And then my buddy Tim, he says, I'm thinking 13-3, time to move on from the Houston being too injured and thinking they should have beaten Baltimore. The Ravens feel they should have beaten the Pats. We feel we should have beaten the Giants, who incidentally lost almost their entire secondary to injury before the season started. So he says Super Bowl prediction, Pats Packers, which is what I had. So, and I'll leave it to you to come up with your own.
Well, we're gonna get right into who we think's gonna win the Super Bowl at the top of the show, and you know, I think there's a lot of teams that are pretty popular, the Patriots and the Packers being two of them, but not the teams we have in the Super Bowl. So we'll talk about that.
Interesting.
When we get going in the next hour.
All right, little intrigue. All right, we'll take a time out here again. Short appearance for me, simply because I've got college football duties tomorrow. But I'll be back next Tuesday. We will have programming here in our 2 o'clock hour tomorrow as Patriots Playbook will be and is back on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2